Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
She stood unmoving amongst the flames as they danced around the ruined city, her city. The cries of wailing mothers and the moans of dying warriors rang out in the air. The stench of death clung to her like the regrets of a dying sinner. Queen Amanarines felt tears begin to form in her remaining eye, but she held them in check. This was not the time for tears. They could come later, she thought. No, this was the time for war and blood. She would drive the pale savages from her land, and she would take the head of any man who dared to try and stop her. This is King Caruso, the Black History Buff, and welcome to the Black History Buff podcast. Each episode, we'll be going through another chapter from Black History and showcasing one of the amazing characters from Black History. You can find us on Instagram at BlackHistoryBuff777 and at BHBMedia777, also on Instagram. So please, kick back, relax, and enjoy today's show. Kandake Amenirras is one of the most celebrated rulers of the ancient kingdom of Kush, located in the region of Nubia, which we now know as Sudan. She ruled from 40 BC to 10 BC. Kandake, also known as Candace, Kendeke, or Kenteke, was the title given to queens and queen mothers of the region and is the origin of the modern name Candace. So, what is Kush, you might ask yourself? Okay, so Kush is a strain of the herb commonly known as... Kush. Kush was a civilization centered in the North African region of Nubia. It was, in fact, one of the earliest civilizations to develop in the Nile River Valley. Kushite states rose to power before a period of Egyptian incursion into the area established an Egyptian dynasty, the 25th dynasty, in 775 BCE, lasting until 653 BCE. By the way, BC numbers work towards zero and AD numbers work away from zero. Yeah, thanks Rome for making history way more confusing. With a rich and vibrant trading culture, Kush coexisted in peace for centuries with its neighbours, due to its role in commerce and the transportation of goods. The Kingdom of Kush represents yet another ancient African civilization of which relatively few people outside of Africa are aware, often reducing Africa's contribution to world culture to the Egyptian legacy alone. Kush, however, is referenced in the Bible, and the kingdom was very well known to the Romans. I could probably do a 6-hour podcast about Nubia and Kush and still not even scratch the surface, but that's for another episode. Basically, Kush can be thought of as the Egypt we don't really talk about. Fun fact, there are more pyramids in Sudan, Kush, than anywhere else in the world, 222. Queen Amenirras took the throne upon the death of her husband, and went on to become one of the most potent and influential monarchs that the African continent has ever produced. I just want to take a minute to talk about women and women's rights in Kush. So, unlike some civilizations, women played an essential role in the ancient Kushite Empire. They worked long, hard hours farming, laboring, and most importantly, as royals. Women were generally more equal and integrated into the Kushite Empire than in Egypt. In Kush, pharaohs were also able to pass their powers to the queen, and by doing so extend their reign. And this transference of power is what helped bring Queen Amenirras into sole rulership of Kush. After taking over the kingdom, Queen Amineras knew she faced a hard road ahead, with her kingdom about to face an enemy like nothing Kush had ever seen before, and immediately set about mobilizing her people into a formidable army. The forces of Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus had just overpowered the Egyptians, making it a region of the Roman Empire. Not wanting to waste any time celebrating this victory, next on the emperor's agenda was to target Kush and expand Rome further still. Gaius Petronius, second and fourth prefect of the now Roman province of Egypt, led the charge. So, I must take some time out to explain exactly what our hero, Queen Amineras, was up against when she took on the Roman forces. The Roman army was the largest and best fighting force in the ancient world. One of the main reasons Rome became so powerful was because of the strength of this army. Rome was a vast empire that stretched from Britain all the way to the Middle East, and its military was exceptionally advanced for its time. The soldiers were the best trained, they had the best weapons and the best armor. When the Romans invaded Britain, their army was so good that it took on forces 10 times its size and won. Apart from the Scottish, who caused the Romans so much trouble, they decided to build a wall to keep them in Scotland and away from kicking Roman ass. Only men could be in the Roman army, no women were allowed. I point that out because in other parts of the world, women did indeed fight alongside the men, just saying. There were two main types of Roman soldiers, legionnaires and auxiliaries. The legionnaires were the elite soldiers. Every new recruit had to be fighting fit. Anyone weak or too short was rejected, and they served for at least 25 years. If they survived their time, they were rewarded with a gift of land they could farm. This was a motivated, professional fighting force. An auxiliary was a soldier who was not a Roman citizen and was only paid a third of a legionnaire's wage. Auxiliaries guarded forts and frontiers, but also fought in battles, often in the front lines where it was most dangerous. The entire foundation of Roman infantry tactics was the idea that by keeping troops in order, one could fight more effectively. Most military commanders of the day just had their forces rush at the enemy, relying on superior numbers, better soldiers, or simply luck to carry the day. The Romans realized that they could not always rely on these, so they turned to strategy. Each situation was handled differently, taking into account terrain, as well as the type and strength of the opponent's troops, and the type of strength of the Roman soldiers available. Now, I say all that to let you know what the new queen was up against. Okay, so we're going to have a quick break and then back to the show. Hey guys, I hope you're doing well and have been enjoying the content. Look, I'm going to be blunt. I really want to do this podcasting, content creation thing full time, but I can't do this without your support. And yeah, I mean financial support. So, for the price of a medium-sized coffee, for the price of a Jamaican patty, you can help to support the podcast, IG page, Facebook page, blog, YouTube account, and now my website by either joining my Patreon or making a one-off donation to my PayPal account. And if that's not your thing, then you could even hop over to blackhistorybuff.com and check out the merch on there. I've got hoodies, jumpers, t-shirts, all themed around Black history. So not only can you listen to your history, you can rep it in your clothing as well. So for the price of a small oxtail and rice, you can help to bring more hidden tales from Black history into the limelight. Okay, so welcome back to the show. Queen Amineras decided to take fate into her own hands and strike first. Her strategy was to defeat the Roman soldiers before they could cross over to Sudan from Egypt. Before the Romans had even tried anything, she led an army of 30,000 men against the Romans in 24 BC. The Nubians attacked the Thebaid and the Roman garrison at Syene. They defeated the forces stationed there, enslaved the inhabitants, and pulled down Emperor Augustus's statues. The queen led from the front, fighting side by side with her son and her soldiers. Kush won the battle, but it was only just the start of the war. With its vast and powerful army, the Roman Empire later found it easy to reclaim most of its cities, and Rome then captured Kush. But Queen Amoneras refused to accept defeat and continued to fight back. Since the army of Kush was small and inexperienced compared to the highly trained Roman soldiers, the queen decided that a series of tactical ambushes would be the best way to counter the invaders. She managed to mobilize her citizens and send them to gather intel on the movements of their enemies. Through cooperation, coordination, and guerrilla style of warfare, she gradually weakened the Romans and began to actually give Kush an advantage. The armies of Kush and Rome engaged in the vicious cycle of war for at least 3 years. And it was during one of these battles that Queen Amoneras was severely injured by one of the Roman soldiers who blinded her in one eye. Yet she still refused to give up, immediately heading back into the battle once she'd recovered. Wow. After 3 brutal years of fighting, the two forces agreed to sign a treaty once they realized that neither side would surrender. The peace treaty called for Rome to withdraw troops, demolish all forts, and return occupied land to the Kushites, as well as cancel the illegal taxes that they had leveled against the people. Now that's what you call a leader. She got back the land, she got some money, and she got them to cancel tax. And we need a queen like that. One of the key things is that this was the only favorable deal that pacified Queen Amoneras. She vowed to fight on until she got every single term that she wanted. She refused to quit until she got them all. Her fame and leadership would be felt and recognized for hundreds of years after her death due to the legacy she left for her descendants. The legend of Queen Amoneras has remained in the history of Sudan, where she is hailed as having been the most daring leader that ever existed in Africa. So, final fun fact. Strabo was a Greek geographer and historian who lived between 64 BC and 23 AD. And he saw the final collapse of the Roman Republic and the creation by Augustus of the Roman Empire. And he wrote large-scale works in his field and is a major source of historical text from that period of time. So within one of his works can be found a description of, and I quote, "a fierce one-eyed queen Candace, who captured a series of Roman forts in southern 25 BC Egypt." He also wrote that her army returned with a bronze depiction of Augustus's head taken from a statue of the Roman emperor. This head was then buried beneath the steps of a temple dedicated to Queen Amoneras's victory. Okay, so that sounds like a bit of a legend, and people thought it was a bit of a myth. You know, some of these ancient Greek historians and geographers and philosophers, they made some stuff up. But then that head was found in Meroe in 1912, and it now resides in the British Museum. How badass is that?
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.